It's such a friendly place.
And today's Focus programme is introduced by Jules Alderson.
Hospital Radio Norwich.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Can we start by finding out who you are and what your role is at the Norfolk and Norwich University Hospital, please?
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me. And my name is Emma Jarvis. I'm the Environmental Arts Manager.
What is an Environmental Arts Manager?
Well, oh my goodness. This is me. I'm looking from left to right, drawing from memory and thoughts and from my heart. So it's a bit of a mix. My work has slowly grown and it involves interior design with finishes, the colour schemes, the furnishings. It involves a lot of work in the background for the grounds, tree types and care of grounds, so the sort of supporting paperwork. It involves exhibitions, music. It involves this kind of things that are on the walls that look like they've been designed and have a bit of oomph. Those kind of things, and things like maps are now coming, our hospital maps are coming under environmental arts, so that we can make sure that they're really designed and thought through and that they've got a full brief behind them so they're right for their job. So it's very wide. I do a lot of work with furniture, which is patient furniture and staff furniture, things that you sit on, sit around, rather than used kind of couches. It's more kind of rest areas. And of course, the artworks on the walls to make it as beautiful as possible for everyone.
I'd love to ask you more about the artworks in a moment, because I think that's probably something that people will be really interested in. But I heard you mention tree types a moment ago. Could you tell me more about that, please?
Yeah, so within the ground, I had the fortune of working with the most amazing gentleman who is a volunteer called Chris Sharples. He taught me huge amounts, and we've transferred that. So when we are donated trees, or we have trees that people wish to donate to remember a loved one, we also do planting schemes over the years so that we can kind of really create the best grounds and a replacement program for those trees that are failing. So we kind of look across the grounds and the site, looking where we sit within Norfolk and where we sit with the UEA and the tree types that will grow basically in our urban environment. So there's a lot of that falls within biodiversity and sustainability as well. So we cross kind of quite a lot. We do have a really amazing row of rare elms. In fact, the longest row in the country, which predate Dutch elm. They are very beautiful. And with those elms come a whole menagerie of their own biodiversity, so specific types of mushrooms and white letterhead butterflies. And it's quite shelf mushrooms. So there's all these different kind of biodiversity that happens all around different species as well. So we kind of think in terms of what we have already and what's right for the environment, what's right for biodiversity, for migratory birds, and what's happening in the area.
Sounds like a really huge, broad job.
It's a broad job.
Yeah. How did you get into it?
I started working at the hospital in 1994. I started as a placement. I'm a practicing artist and was a practicing artist, and I got sent to one of those courses where you basically are taught Mavis Beacon typing, and a placement came up at the hospital, and I came, and within days I felt that this is where I fit, because it's a specific kind of being and it's quite challenging. Although it's a lovely job, there are challenges for it, and I like that challenge, I like that thrive. My work is, my life is all around how the environment affects you. So in college I used to paint these huge paintings because I wanted to create environments for people to, and how they'd affect them, whether they'd be for the good or the bad. And I tested out bad environments and good environments. So I painted my bedroom thousands of different colours, just because I liked finding out how things affect you, and they do. And a good environment is informed by lots of different things, by culture, by people, by the age ranges, but it's all informed. So part of my work is really around consultation as well, because it's about the users, our patients, our staff, our visitors, our ownership, our culture, our community. So there's a lot that goes into it. Yeah. I just went off on a tangent completely.
Could you tell us more about what would a consultation involve if you were thinking about working in a particular area? How would you capture that?
Oh,
always an opinion.
Oh, but hugely, it's really exciting. So we've got groups that already input. So we've got our patient panel, And we've got our new youth forum as well, and they're absolutely lovely. So they're two channels. But then I also have my environmental arts committee, who have members of the public on there as well, and patient representation. But then also what we do is, with any project, we will go out and we will do forms for people to just fill in, do you like X, Y, Z, or we will do trials. So, for example, with the Cromer Macmillan Centre, with the furnishings in the waiting area, which is so successful, we basically, I took 30 different types of chairs and labelled them all up and left them for patients, staff and visitors to go and try, sit on, how do you feel, fill in this small piece of paper. And then myself and my volunteer team would be like running through them all, finalising and finding out. So there's a lot of talking, there's a lot of paperwork, there's a lot of questionnaires, there's a lot of feedback, speaking to people, hearing people. For example, Liz Yaxley's team will take colour schemes around to patients by the bedside to say which directly that they like. So it's all very informed, whether in different forms as well. And that process is quite lovely. It's really interesting because people think, oh, you know, if I say something negative or... But actually, if you don't say what you don't like, I can't filter out what I do like. So I'm really open to hearing what people don't like. Because if you don't like it, it's really important. Then you need to say kind of more than what you do like. And then you can work through and it kind of all pulls together.
So it's time now to listen to your first song choice. What have you chosen and why?
I've chosen Dolly Parton, who is my ultimate hero. I still haven't seen her, but I absolutely love her voice and her writing and how she presents and the joy in her, and that's Shine.
Give me a word, give me a sign. Show me where to look and tell me what will I find. What will I find? Lay me on the ground. Show me where to look and tell me what will I find, what will I find, yeah. Oh, heaven let your light shine down. Oh, heaven let your light shine. Show me where to go and tell me, will love be there? Will love be there? Teach me how to speak, teach me how to share. Teach me where to go and tell me, will love be there? Will love be there? Yeah. Oh, heaven let your light shine down.
Have you seen patterns over the years of things that people do like or respond well to and things that work less well for the patients?
Nature. Always around nature, vibrancy, colour. Sometimes I'm quite, there's been some areas where there's pockets of groups that are like, we would like this, and very determined. But then an overriding the general, and then it never works. You end up taking something down. So I have to be quite strong in that if there's a strong spokesman of a group, it's not necessarily what the group are saying. The backdrop is always found in nature for how people feel, and that brings well-being. I can't step away from that. And it's really interesting because there are images of it's more growing nature as well. So people love to look at beaches and go out to the beach. But most people go out to the beach, they go visit it, and then they come away from it. And beaches can be quite lonely places. So it's the essence of things growing, time, rather than looking out across the sea with a beach scene. It's really interesting. It's very much about not necessarily like herb garden, just nature and nature in nature.
For the artwork that you can find around the hospital, how do you acquire that? Who paints it? Where does it all come from?
The community, everyone, everywhere. Each project, if it's a build project, for example, we will go out to advertise, advertise for professional artists or amateur artists working in the community, and we will formally contract after a formal selection process, which will involve interviews and CVs and making references, basically making sure that somebody that comes forward is equipped to do the job that we need them to do. It's a job that they need to take on, and they're being paid for it. We will work with exhibiting artists. We've got a kind of a rolling program. It's really tough because sometimes somebody's artwork isn't appropriate for the hospital environment just by the nature of what we exhibit. And if it's not, then what we'll do is we'll find places, you know, have you tried here? Have you tried there? And or give a list of places to look. So there's all these different means for working with artists. And because we're very community orientated, there's always something somewhere, even if, because people will come to me and they'll go, you know, I want to paint this area. And that's, well, we have to formally select you for this. It's tricky because some people, you could feel let down. But I think we've got a really happy balance of how we find and how we commission and how people find us. And I go and look for artists as well to join shortlists. And we've got a register of artists. So it's quite, and that goes for music, for projects on the wards, even our volunteers. It goes, there's processes for all. Yeah.
Could you give some examples of these kind of build projects for people who might not be familiar with what you mean by that?
I think the most recent probably is the Community Diagnostic Centre. And I worked across the three sites, so James Paget, Queen Elizabeth, and the Norfolk and Norwich. So that there's an overall theme. Each site has its own nuances and culturally different as well. And the backdrop is very different. With that in mind, consulting with all three different parties. So the Community Diagnostic Centre, I worked with all the different groups and we asked lots of questions about the environment. I came up with different mood boards and then started honing it down. Child furniture, suggested artworks so that we could then kind of consult and agree and then formally commission, and basically the whole environment is tied together. So the floors and the walls and the colours, all the colourways all match, and the furniture shapes are really comfortable, but they also work well with the environment, and the finishes are all really aligned. The curtains are a specific colour to work with the paintwork, and all the finishes of the doors are specific. So it's quite in depth. There's quite a lot of work that goes in the background. And you need thinking time for those kind of things as well to make sure that it's right, so it really sits. And I'll sit with hundreds of swatches. I've got drawers full of swatches, and I'll put swatches out, bring them back, put swatches out. And you need to live with them to know, to get confidence in them, to see if something niggles you as well. So it's quite a lengthy process. But also then all the finishes have to be aligned with infection control, fire safety, replacement, sustainability. So finishes have all got to be long lasting. There's my battles, I feel, is being won over to buy a chair. If it's like £70, that's all very well, but it's only got a year's guarantee. If you buy a chair that's £150, it might seem more expensive, but it's going to last you 10 years. And it's going to be, we can recover it at the end. So it's safe, and it saves the planet.
How do you find that balance between meeting the requirements of infection control and all of the other information that you've had about the colours, the textures that people would like?
It works really well. Infection control will also, they'll come to me if they need something changing as well, because we work together so closely. And if it's not, if it for the environment and for needs, yeah, it's meeting all of those. The good thing as well is that design is getting better. Manufacturers are really keyed in, especially some of our UK manufacturers that have had to really fight against global, you know, companies. A lot of our UK manufacturers are actually really specialists still, bang on the price for different things, and transport's easier. It's just that the whole supply chain is becoming a lot more orientated towards best quality hospitals. Most of them know me as well from trials and discussions, and I'll feed back information as well. So if we have, for example, we've had some seating which was cracked, and it's just like, we need to find out how this is cracked. Why has it happened? So because patients sitting on this, and it turned out to be specifically chairs that were bought for COVID that were cleaned and cleaned and cleaned and cleaned and cleaned. If you don't find out why something's failing, then it's going to happen again. So it won't happen again. We know what to do. We know the right cleaning products, and that's, yeah, it's ongoing. I take it for granted that I do all of this because it's daily questions.
So let's turn to your second song choice now.
It's good. I've got to put Bob Dylan in there for a whole host of reasons. So I'm going to suggest, well, actually, it's going to be Meet Me in the Morning, which there's something about that song that puts shivers down my spine with the sounds. There's something about how it is. I just love it. And it's a song that I can't ever, the sounds in it, I can't get bored of.
Meet me in the morning, 56 in Wabasha. Kansas, my time.
Could you talk us through what a typical day might be like? Although I suspect you don't have a typical day.
No, it's interesting because I arrive and the first couple of hours will normally be documents where I can just get my head into doing a document. And I'll do documents on the late evening as well, sometimes where my world is quiet. And then emails and things and people and calls and meetings and go over here for this. And it's quite, you have to be really fluid. So it's not chaotic, it's just fluid. You have to be planned, but you have to be able to react as well, because there's lots of things that you can plan, like when the exhibitions. I've got a lovely volunteer team who are my task force. They help with so much and do different things, and I'll write them little mini briefs for their days. Everything is kind of a working progress. Well, everything that we do, we kind of, well, how can we improve that? How can I improve that? And it's forever growing as our work changes and develops and sites change and we might be involved somewhere else. So, but also I think that I know my job, and I'm very point blank that I won't take on things that are not my job, because that's where the spanner gets thrown in the works. It's just I stick to what I am able to do and that's right for environmental arts.
Can you tell me more about what the volunteers get involved in?
Oh, wow. Lots. So they help with exhibitions and changing over exhibitions. They do things like audit benches. They will go and measure things for me, which is, there's a lot of measuring out there to be done. They'll count chairs. They'll walk different walk routes. So, for example, for the maps, it says, can you photograph every sign? Can you just, because you haven't been there before, so can you find it? Photograph every sign as you go. Tell me which routes you walked. Just point out and circle everything that doesn't really work on that route. That kind of thing as well. So they'll document. We've got historic collection as well, which they'll document onto MODES, which is a museum database. So we've got heritage collections, which date back to 1771. So there, slowly but surely, so on the desk over there, there's parts of hip replacement, which date back to the 1980s, but some much earlier. So they'll be documenting. It's really wide, and also helping now with fundraising in the background as well. So I've got a new lady starting, and she's going to be with a table selling artworks that have been donated for us for sale. So it's quite, but we don't sell artworks that haven't been donated. All artworks, when they come to us, are documented formally and they're kept as part of our collections. Yeah, so that's a bit of a flavour. Writing letters to our artists, for our artist register, putting things in order, it goes on.
And for your last song choice?
Well, I think I'm going to have to put a little Led Zeppelin Ramble On in there. It's a song that takes me back to when I was younger, and it's a song about journeys and moving forward, and that's how I feel a little bit about my journey through life and work. It's just ramble on.
Leaves are falling all around. Time I was on my way. Thanks to you, I'm much obliged. Such a pleasant stay. But now it's time for me to go. The autumn moonlight's my way. But now I smell the rain, and with it pain, and it's heading my way. Ah, sometimes I grow so tired. And though I held sweet drink a thousand times, it's time to ramble on. I'm gonna ride my world, I gotta find my
all years ago in days of old when magic filled the air. Just in the darkest depths of Mordor, I met a girl so fair. But Gollum and the evil one crept up and slipped away with her.
Interested in joining your team of volunteers, are you looking for new people?
I do look for new people. I like to settle in a team, then take on new. We're in a settling period now, and we always are looking for new, and we'll always consider, and if people come forward and say, well, I'd like to do this, we'll always consider it. I work really closely with the volunteers team so that we're really aligned with policies and procedures for volunteers, and that they're all embedded formally and they're done through the DBS checks, and it works really well. So always, yes.
So if somebody is listening to this and thinking, oh, actually, I could be interested in helping,
get in touch. My email address, email's always best because the telephone is there, but I flit around all over. So it's emma.jarvis@nnuh.nhs.uk, and that's Jarvis, J-A-R-V-I-S, Emma Jarvis.
So we're almost at the end of our time together today. You've talked about so many different things that you've been involved in. Is there something that you're most proud of?
Being creative. I actually had my appraisal, and I mentioned this, because I do a project and then it's gone and I want to do the next thing and make it a whole bunch better. So I'm going to say that the thing that I'm most proud of is perhaps the fact that I'm not really proud of any one particular project, and that everything is about the next, how can I. And I think that's in a lot of creative individuals, artists, musicians. They'll always be like, I can improve on that. You know, I'm not showing that artwork. I did that in 2015. So I think that it's that I'm probably... I think my piece that I feel is a treasure is our leaves sculpture, which is currently down for conservation works. And we're fundraising for... I think that I feel a treasure in that. And I feel a treasure in the elms, which are part of our environment.
My last question is, having had this conversation, people might be much more aware of all the different things that you've been involved in. Is there anything that you would hope that a visitor or a patient or even a member of staff might notice?
Oh, now that to me is... I'm going to come up with another weird answer for this one. Because I would like our patients, staff and visitors with the environment to almost not notice it. To it be like a beautiful path that you walk through and you haven't seen anything that really stands out. I'd like it to be a holistic environment where everything works and sits back and is your healthcare backdrop. But I do like the idea of the little intimate, for example, the exhibitions, for example, that you'd walk past and see in amongst this massiveness, the little intimate something that you go, oh, I like that, you know, that intimate picture. I like that too. So I think that it's all to see a tree in leaf with flowers on that's like, oh, that's pretty. Or maybe to look over at the pond and see the fish and go, oh, they look really healthy. Look at them bubbling up for water and the water's lovely and clear. Or not even notice that the water is clear, just to be able to see the fish. So those kind of things. So I feel that the best environment is one that doesn't stand out. It's one that's natural, like you take a walk through the wood and just enjoy where it is, or just be put at rest or calm and relaxed and comfortable. I think that to me is a good environment.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.